And I'm thankful that chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, we're going to do a quick review of in the first portion here, just yes, to remind us what Peter is challenging the believers during a time of persecution and trials and tribulation, and easily to get distracted and led astray in their time, just as we find in our day the same to be true if we're not careful, to be led astray by all sorts of things that take us off point from what God redeemed us for, what he saved us for. We of all people, and it's not because of anything we've done, but because of what Christ has done for us, and we accepting that, and him then doing the transforming work as he works in our lives and shapes us and molds us more and more into his thinking and his likeness each day as we study his word and walk in step with the Spirit, and how he changes and molds us transforms our thinking. My friends, we as followers of Christ should be a tremendous light in this dark world. We should. We of all people, we have something to live for. We have something to proclaim about. And truly, we have something that we're willing to die for. We're willing to die for the cause of Christ. That to have the same mindset that Christ had of being willing to, we will not turn our eyes off of what we will bow our knee to, but I will bow my knee to Christ and Christ alone and to nothing else. And in the day and age in which we live, we mustn't forget that truth. But there are so many things that are pulling and tugging at us and trying to lure us away from that foundational truth. For why are we here? How did we get here? Christ created you, made you, designed you, and placed you here. What did he place us here on this earth for? That we would bring glory and honor to his name. We're broken and messed up people. We can't do it in and of ourselves. Adam and Eve and the rest of humanity were sinners, broken, lost, unable to do anything good or right before God without his help, without his work indwelling within us and having a right mindset. He did what he did. He came, died upon the cross, paying the penalty for our sin through his shed blood. That, and then going to the grave and rising again for the purpose of giving you and I the opportunity to place our faith and trust in his redemptive work, what he has done for us, and now to set us on a new path. And he has called us as believers to now live this out. Live this out beautifully with his power, with his strength. And we're going to look at that. This passage in these two verses unfolds it very beautifully of what it's all about for us. Well, we've looked at in 1 Peter chapter 4, 7 through 11, that we are to be holy so that we can pray. Second, we were to love one another. Just as Christ loved us, we're to love one another, right? He has shown us how to love, and so we follow in his footsteps. We love others, we love him because of his love for us. And we are to move into action of service, and that's where we're at today. This reminder of now doing something, being active. If we know Christ as Savior, then it should be fleshed out by doing, okay? We don't do to get right with God. No, he did everything for us to get right with him. We just simply believe and trust in what he's done. And then he says, now as a workman of Christ, right, in Ephesians 2:10, for we are workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand for us to do. And that came on the heels of telling us how to be saved. And it was by grace alone, right? Not by works, but by grace, by faith and trust in Christ. So, just don't want us to be confused at all about what this is all about, right? We come to saving faith, and then he gives us something now to be used for the purpose a specific, each of us. This is beautiful, what he shares with us here in this passage. So let's read verse 10 and 11. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Every believer has been given a spiritual gift. If you have placed your faith and trust in Christ, the Spirit of God, who now lives within you, as we could go back to Ephesians and look at the moment that we trust in Christ, the Spirit of God comes and seals you till the day of redemption. You belong to him. What security, what hope, what peace that should bring to your life of and comfort, right? To know that you belong to him. Not because of anything you're going to do for him, but what he has already done for you. And he is now, when you trust in him, Christ imputes his righteousness to you. He places his righteousness upon you. You have become righteous in the eyes of God the Father because of the righteousness of Christ. It's amazing, and so much to learn of those truths that... and. We do this often. Ephesians, we've looked at that here, that's been a while ago, but when we looked at Ephesians and all that we've been given in Christ. Well, each believer has been given a spiritual gift. We have been given something for the purpose that he has for you individually in this walk with him. In 1 Corinthians 12:1, it says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." We need to understand, and we're not going to go into any detail about the gifts today. But we'll see in this passage what it does. It's going to divide the gifts up into two segments, and we're going to just focus on that today. But each believer has been given a spiritual gift, and we need to care about this. This is important. Each of us has been given something by God for the purpose of his glory, okay, to be used of him. Each believer is gifted according to the grace given to each individual by God. Grace, God giving us something. Salvation, God gives us by grace through faith. Grace, we're given salvation. He's given us something good that you and I don't deserve. I love that we could look at the Apostle Paul in Corinthians when he's dealing with the thorn in the flesh, and he's praying for the Lord to remove this thorn. And he prays three times, and the Lord responds to him and says, "My grace is sufficient." It's God giving to Paul strength and the ability to get through what he's dealing with. It's God's power. God's grace is God's giving to us his strength, his power, his ability to do what he has called us to do. So when we see that word grace there, it's significant. It's what God's grace is, him giving to us something, enabling us to do something that comes from him. It can only come from him. We can't do it on our own. Okay? It's only through him. Every believer is gifted according to the grace given to each individual by God. So God, in his grace, gives you a gift, a spiritual gift that can be used specifically, for we will see here in a moment. In Ephesians 4:7, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." What we're also going to see, and what we see in real life every day, is that God gifts each of us in different ways, and nobody is of the same giftedness, right? And so somebody does have the gift of serving. Maybe that's what it is, or the gift of teaching. But it's not all of the same value, in the sense that they're not all doing it equally, right? The same if you want to say, I don't know, quality is the right word, but it all looks different, right? But he gives us the ability, okay, what God has given to each one of us in working through us to bring glory and honor to himself ultimately, but for the edification of others also. These gifts are given according to the will of God. It's not something that you and I go and try to find. It's not something that we say, I want the gift of teaching, and so I'm going to just go out and make that happen. That's something that God gives to you. Or whatever it might be, that it's going to come from God. It's not me choosing to make it my gift. It's God giving me the gift and the ability to do so. That's a big deal for us to understand that God gives us. God gifts us. He enables us. He gives us what we need and what he has desired and planned for our lives. How has God gifted you? What is it that is a passion in your life, or something that you have in that when you do it, it brings great joy to you as you're working with others? Okay, and we're going to look at two different scenarios here in just a moment. What is it that you see God using in your life as a follower of Christ that is used ultimately for the glory of God? These gifts are given according to his will. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, all these are the work of one Spirit, one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as he determines. It is never about a believer seeking to have or obtain this gift or that gift. Okay? There's great movement out there today of people saying, I'm not sure, were we lifting off? Or I'm not sure what that was. You need to, if you don't have a certain gift, then you haven't arrived. If you don't have a gift, oh, it was a little one. I didn't realize that. Is that what it was? Oh, I couldn't tell what that noise was. So it's not something that we go and clamor for a gift, because then when we have that gift, we've arrived. That's not what it's about, my friends. God gives to us as he chooses to gift us in his time and in his way, okay? Very important. Please don't lose sight of that, okay? The believers are placed in the body of Christ. We're placed in the body of Christ as he desires. As we see in 1 Corinthians 12:18, it says, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So you see that the makeup of the body of Christ is something that is so moved and led and directed by God. And that is why it is so important for us to have a ongoing, thriving, growing relationship with Jesus, right? For when we get distracted and allow ourselves to get consumed with our own thoughts and our own ideas and our own ways, you can see where when parts of the body aren't living out and using the gift that God has given you to serve or to be used within the body ultimately for his glory, we see there's always issues. There's going to be something's lacking. It's not the best. It's not the best. When God planned the masterpiece he would make of your life, he decided to give you certain gifts that would enable you to effectively share his love and make your own unique contribution to the body of Christ. Think about that. He gifts you for the purpose of having a purpose within the body to encourage, to uplift, to bring about edification within the body of Christ. The church, the body of Christ, is so important. He's designed us for that way. He's created us. We can't live the Christian life at all effectively apart from the body of Christ. He wants us to be together, and he wants us to be using the gifts in which he has given us for the purpose of encouraging and edifying one another. It is so important. We are gifted for the purpose of serving others. The purpose of serving others. It's not about us. He didn't give you a gift so that you can feel good about yourself. God gifts you for ultimately for the purpose of serving others. Serving him first and foremost, and then serving others. Being a blessing and encouragement to other people. But what is really cool is that when you see somebody that's living out their gift, that's just living in it, and they're doing what God has given them the ability to express his love and his kindness to the body, when you see them doing that, there is nothing more exciting than to see people that are just doing what God has gifted them to do, and they're doing it with joy. You just see that there's fulfillment there, and there's going to be fulfillment. When you're walking in step with the Spirit and you're using the gifts that God has given to you, and these aren't just talents, okay? These aren't just, boy, somebody that's been talented from day one, and God can use those talents or those qualities, characteristics in your life to then magnify or to greater use maybe the gifts that he then gives us at salvation for the body of Christ. But it's God working in and through us. He wants to do his work through us for his glory and for the edification of the body. And what's so neat is that it does bless us. When you use the gift that God has given to you, or gifts, it blesses your heart. You're living in the moment with Christ, right? You're just doing what he's called you to do. We met Poochie, pastor, is upcoming pastor at the Duluth Bible Church. Just a neat fella. But I'm telling you, the moment that I met him, and his role and responsibility is going to be connecting with the church body as kind of a pastoral care pastor. And I'm telling you, oh my goodness, he just connects with people so easy, and he's just a joy. He's just the neatest guy ever. And it's just fun to watch him living out what God has called him. When he said what he was going to be doing, he's currently working elsewhere at the moment. But it's fun to see that done within our own body. People doing what God has given them, the motivation and the joy of serving the body for a purpose, for his glory, and it's a joy to see that. We are to serve others faithfully. We're to serve others faithfully. We're to use the gifts that God has given to us and use them faithfully. My friends, it is so easy. It is so easy to know that God has saved me and God has redeemed me, and I'm prepared for heaven, right? I'm heaven bound. And what a joy that is to know those truths. And then just to find ourselves very content and just going on the ride, right? We're just, it's just great to know that I know Jesus, but failing to use, God didn't just redeem you and I for the purpose of our own pleasure and getting us ultimately to heaven. He redeemed you, and then he gifted you for the purpose of being used to be a blessing first and foremost within the body of Christ. And then as the body of Christ does that faithfully, we are then to minister to the world around us and to be a light in a dark place. And when we do that faithfully, using what God has given us and being a good steward of it. 1 Corinthians 4:2, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. God gives us gifts. He gives us opportunities to be a light in a dark place. That's what we're here for, is to represent Him well. And He's asking for us to do that faithfully. Faithfully serve, as it tells us here in this verse. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace. Don't lose sight of that. God's grace. Remember what God's grace is. It's God giving to us, even in us, in our serving or in our gifts that he gives to us. He's wanting to work through us, administering his grace, allowing him to work through us for his glory. Just as he said with the Apostle Paul. I know that Paul was longing for the suffering to be over, but the Lord said, my grace, my strength, my work through you is going to keep you on track, keeping you humble, but keeping you in love with me and walking in truth and doing it with joy, not being overcome by the weight of whatever's going on. But in this case, his grace, being a good steward of his grace, what he gives to us, he gives to us a gift and he wants for us to now use it for his glory. And he will give you the strength and the ability, the opportunities and the times to do it. We are called to be good stewards of the grace, the strength that God gives to us. There are different kinds of gifts. Different kinds of gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:4 and 7. It says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Remember where they're always coming from. It's not your gift, right? You didn't think it up. It wasn't your idea. It was the Spirit of God that gave you the gift to be used for his glory and to serve others. Okay? Let's remember that. And 1 Corinthians 12:7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Again, just a reminder that it's for others. He gifts us not for us to revel in, boy, am I gifted, but to be a blessing and an honor, a joy, an encouragement to those around me, whatever it is that he has gifted us to do. It's for the common good. It's about others. It's not ultimately about me. Remember where the gift comes from the Spirit of God, and he then gives us the ability, the strength to now use it and to live it out. The more that we get in tune with the Spirit of God, as we talk about in Galatians, right? When we walk, and actually we'll be looking at that here in a moment. These gifts fall into two categories. There are speaking gifts and there are serving gifts. Two categories. And that's just what Peter chose to do here in this passage. We could look at Romans 12 and we could look at 1 Corinthians 12, and it gives a list of gifts and so on. But what Peter focuses on here is, so there's two kind of categories of gifts that you may have, that you will fall into. And he tells us, and he was telling the believers there how to use them, okay? How should you be living it out? If anyone speaks, he should do it. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. So there's that of speaking, a speaking gift, okay? Of being able to, whether it's in teaching or proclaiming the truth of God's word or exhortation, okay? Exhorting people, right? Exhorting people in the truth. Whatever you do, in using that gift, we better always be coming back to proclaiming the oracles of God. And that's really what this is focusing on here, is you better be proclaiming the truth of God and his word. Don't be filling people full of your own knowledge or your own thoughts or your own thinking, but what does God's word say? What does the truth of God's word? You better be proclaiming that to those whom you are speaking to, because the word of God doesn't return void. The word of God is what leads us to the truth. It is the truth, right? And Jesus says that he says he is the way, the truth, and the life, right? And the word of God proclaims, it's the truth, proclaiming about him, okay? All right? Different kinds of gifts, yet they come from the Spirit. There are speaking gifts and there are serving gifts. Those given the gift of speaking speak God's truth, not your own ideas or your own thoughts. But to be quick to proclaim the truth of God and his word. We need to proclaim that truth. We need to be, that's the message. And we need to make sure that whatever is said, ultimately, thus saith the Lord, God's word confirms or agrees with what we're saying, that we're not just trying to give our own thoughts. If you have the gift of speaking, he says in verse 11, make sure when you speak the utterances of God. If you have the gift of prophecy or proclaiming the truth or teaching or knowledge or wisdom or exhortation, when you open your mouth, make sure you speak as it were the utterances of God. Teaching, proclaiming the truth, exhorting, make sure that it's in agreement and it's ultimately the truth from God's word. Acts 7:38, he was in the assembly in the in the desert with the angels who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, and he received living words to pass on to us. I love that. Living words, God's word that he passed on to us for us to proclaim. Romans 3:2, much in every way, first of all, they have been entrusted with the very words of God. And I love what Bill shared in Psalm 119 this morning also. We have a message. If the Lord's given you a gift of teaching or speaking, proclaim the truth of God's word. It teaches, it proclaims, it convicts, it challenges, it takes us where people need to go. Okay? Do not lose sight of that. If you are given a gift of serving, then serve with the strength that God supplies. If you have the gift of helps, or a gift in the area of administration, or giving, or mercy, the list goes on, of other things, of other ways in which Scripture speaks of, which, again, we're not going to look at those today, but serve with the power of Christ in you. Serve and do it for his glory, for his honor. It's not for you. It's for the glory, for the encouragement, for the edification, for the building up of those whom you are serving. And you do it for his glory and do it with his strength. If you are given the gift of serving, then serve with the strength that God supplies. Walk in step with the Spirit, Galatians 5:24 through 25. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. When you think about being used of the Lord, if we want to be used of the Lord, if we want for him to have his will and his way in our life, my friends, we have to be walking in step with the Spirit. We can't do it on our, we can't do it in our own way, in our own thinking. And you know, I'm just amazed how on a weekly basis all of the emails I get of how to make your church grow exponentially. How about just be faithful to teach God's word? Let God's word do, it's his work, it's his, but there's all kinds of gimmicks and things out there that what the world says you should do to make your church something, but is it walking in step with the Spirit? Is it built upon truth? Is it built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles? Is it God's word that's leading the body? Or is it just, having a great big church, right? And unfortunately, we can see that in a church level. We can see that on a personal level. The things that we do, and for what is our motivation? What's our purpose? Where are you trying to get your strength from and your wisdom from? You better get it from the word. And you better be getting it as you walk in step with the Spirit. He will guide and lead you in the path of truth. These gifts are given that God will be praised through the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ. Again, it all comes back to God's glory. Why are you serving? Why are you teaching? Why are you using the gifts that God has given to you within the context of the body? What is it for? It's ultimately for God's glory, that he will be praised, that he will be magnified, that he will be seen. It's not about people. It shouldn't be about me. It shouldn't be about you, but it's about what God is doing in and through you. And it's not to say that people shouldn't be encouraged and thanked and commended for what they do. Absolutely. People need encouragement. People need that. People need to know that they're appreciated in what they're doing. But we need to make sure that when we are doing and using the gifts that God has given to us, that we're doing it not for that pat on the back, but for the glory of God. We're doing it for his praise and for his glory. To him, all glory is given. And I love it, is it the last phrase here in this verse, to him be glory and the power forever and ever, amen. A reminder that he is the sovereign ruler over all. And that is who you and I have the privilege of serving and ministering with. As he ministers through us, we are serving with the sovereign ruler, right? He's working through us. Isn't that crazy? That we have the privilege to proclaim his goodness, to give him praise, and that all the glory is given to the power of Christ in you. Right? Of God working in and through us. And it's not of ourselves. It's not because we're so good, but it's because of the God whom we serve is so great and what he is choosing to do in and through you. Amen? All right. Well, one of the things, I know that there can be a lot of questions with regards to spiritual gifts and oh, well, then what is my gift and so on. And that's something that, yes, we need to, I encourage you, Romans 12 and also 1 Corinthians 12. One of these days here, we probably just need to do a series or a study on gifts again also, because it's important that we understand, as we believe, that there are gifts that are not necessarily meant for today. Can God do great things as he did in certain gifts? Absolutely. But they were for the apostles and the prophets. Okay? They were for in the foundation building of the church. So we're going to look at that another day. But my friends, are you serving? Are you teaching? Are you proclaiming as unto the Lord in what you do? Are you being faithful, a good steward of what he's given you? I want to encourage you, If we're part of the body of Christ, we need to be serving each other. We need to be serving the body. What is it that God has given me to be a blessing and encouragement to this body right here? Okay? So things to think about and pray about. Talk about. Let's talk about it. Okay? All right. Let's pray, and then we're going to have a time of proclamation of these two men giving a beautiful outward proclamation of an inward change that God has done in their life. And I love it. It's so beautiful. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this time. And we pray, Lord, that as we have Matt and Bill come and for them to share what has brought them to this point of wanting to be baptized and display this picture, beautiful picture of what has taken place in their life. Lord, I pray that you'll just bless them, encourage them in this. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us so much of what you have for us and what you want us to do and what you've created us and redeemed us to do. So, Lord, thank you for this time. We love you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yeah, Husker Red, we need to pray about that probably, but anyway, process of sanctification, no. No. So at this time, I'm going to give you the mic. And Matt, what is it that has brought you to this point today to want to make this proclamation?
Oh, earlier this spring, I heard a correlation or that really worked with baptism, but the reason I haven't done it up to this point was I was baptized as an infant in the Methodist Church, and I thought that was good enough for a long time, but as I grew older, I realized that that wasn't what the Bible teaches and the right things, so I kind of resented that in a way, and kind of never really felt the need to follow through with that at that point because of what was portrayed on that as an infant. And anyways, going through our Bible study, our young men's Bible study, we delve into the importance of some of that, and the correlation that I heard was listening to a podcast. Don't quote me on anything. I don't remember what it was or anything like that anymore, but it went through the symbolism of marriage. Your wedding ring don't make you married. It's a symbolism of your marriage, just like your baptism is your symbolism of your faith.
Amen. 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 And it is. It's a beautiful picture. And I just remind you, as we think about this, is Matt is going to sit into this nice, warm water. So the picture of, as they go back in the water, dying with Christ, and as Scripture tells us, that we die with Christ and buried and rose again to new life, given new life in Christ. And this is what this picture is that decision that Matt made in his life of trusting in Christ as his Savior. And now this is just a picture of that. And as we are reminded from the old, from New Testament times, when they took this step of faith in their culture, this is really putting a target on their back. Because they were saying, I am a follower of Christ. And that's what this is also saying for Matt today, is I am proclaiming outwardly to you as a church family that I have trusted in Christ and I am following him. For the apostles and for the early church, they when they made that step of faith, it was a target on them. The believers in the early church, they didn't have the freedom to worship however they wanted, but they knew that they were going to worship Christ and him alone. And so because of that, they made this proclamation, but then they now have made them publicly known that they're a follower of Jesus. Well, we know Matt, and we know that Matt is a follower of Jesus, and it's been fun to grow in the grace and knowledge of that with him, but then for him to come to this point of saying, I want to take this step of obedience and being baptized, it's beautiful, and it's a beautiful picture. Baptism does not save you. You must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, and then we do this as a proclamation of this is what has taken place already. This is what Christ has done in my life. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful picture. Okay? As I asked Matt, as I asked Matt, you can go ahead and take this.
Okay.
Bill, what is it that brings you today to this point of wanting to make this proclamation?
Well, when I was a baby, I was in the Lutheran church. I was baptized in the Lutheran church, but I don't remember it. As a baby, I couldn't say, yes, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now I can and I do. Amen. And it's an outward demonstration of inward change for me. I feel like I've already gotten the Holy Spirit within me because he's my, he/she is my conscience and is always reminding me of what I'm doing wrong, of which I am doing a lot wrong. But when he reminds me, then I always say, I'm sorry, God, I need to pray for them, not what I was doing before. So, and I know this is not going to get me into heaven, but the belief in Jesus Christ that I have will.
Amen. Amen.
So.
Amen. I had a joy, such a joy of, amen, visiting with Bill here the other day and just talking through this with him. And as we were sharing with him of the wonderful truth and reality that when we place our faith and trust in Christ, as we've mentioned this morning already, that the Spirit of God comes in and dwells within you. But when the Spirit of God comes in and dwells within you, he is our teacher, he is our comforter, he's our counselor. He does all of these things in our lives. And so when the presence of the Spirit of God is there, he does that convicting. He does that prompting. And Bill was talking even about, he was going along, and all of a sudden just had this this nudging. And as we're talking about it, he's like, well, that had to be from the Lord. And I said, I bet it was, Bill. And just of something that he wouldn't think of necessarily of his own, but to see God prompt him and then for him to be obedient to then do it. It's so beautiful. And Bill, it is a joy to this morning get to do this with you, of you making this public proclamation. God is so good. And we just rejoice with you as we do with Matt of what he's doing.
I wanted to add one more thing. It was about a year ago, maybe a little bit more. Aben Morgan invited me to the church, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I'm just going to mention, as he's doing this, isn't it interesting in both of their testimonies, they were baptized as an infant. And as I want to challenge you, I will give $100 to anybody that can find in Scripture that infant baptism is a thing. It's not there. But what saddens my heart is how many teach that water baptism as an infant has salvation value. And unfortunately, so many people are hanging their hat on that baptism. And it's not, it does nothing for you. And it's not even biblical. So it's just interesting. Both of them have the same story. And for them to see what biblical baptism is all about. Son, and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? Amen. It is so good. Beautiful outward proclamation of an inward change. And it's just fun to be able to sit and visit with brothers in Christ. And honestly, had I ever thought, sit and have this visit with Bill and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's very exciting. So, all right, would you stand with me as we close? Father, you are so good. We are so thankful for your goodness to us. We are thankful for your faithfulness. Lord, you love us, and you desire to redeem us and to pluck us out of our foolish, selfish, broken ways and bring us to the truth. Lord, thank you for Matt's testimony. Thank you for Bill's testimony of what you're doing in their lives. And Lord, we stand with them this morning as they say they are following you. And Lord, I pray that you'll just help us to encourage them, to love them in the days ahead. And Lord, it's also an opportunity just for further accountability, Lord, of just saying we're going to stand together and serve the Lord together. And so Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to share these moments together as the body of Christ. It is so encouraging. We thank you. We praise you for all these things. Be with us in our time of Sunday school. Bless it. And our time of fellowship following. Thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.